Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. We're back from our summer holidays. I'm David Reed, this is Marek Larwood.
Hello, listeners.
And it's good to be back.
It must be all for the listeners, because we pre-recorded a lot of podcasts.
Yeah.
So we haven't seen each other for a month.
Yeah.
I haven't actually spoken to anyone for a month.
This is going to be exciting, then.
It's going to be quite difficult for me already. I'm struggling. I'm struggling to get to the end of this sentence.
Whereas I've just had a non-stop roller coaster ride of social encounters.
We've had quite different months. Let's tell you what we've been doing. Your month sounds really great.
Well, I'm writing a play at the moment, so for York Theatre Royal, which will be on next year, about Guy Fawkes, a comedy about Guy Fawkes and the other plotters.
Does he die at the end of it?
No. But historically, he does end up dying, as most historical figures do.
Yeah.
I'm in the middle of writing that.
I hope I never get historical.
Get historicalised. So that's quite exciting. So, no, I was in York writing that, went to the theatre to check it out, have a look around. It's been a while.
What is your writing process?
I write an entire thing. Then read it and go, no. And I throw it in the bin and start over and do that 5 or 6 times.
Do you sit... There are some people who sit at desks and can just work.
Yeah.
Are you one of those people?
Yeah. I once I'm sort of focused in, I miss meals and whole days will go by without me doing anything else.
I hate people like that.
I've yet to write a screenplay, though, and that's what I really want to do. So that'll be next.
What's
your writing process?
I can't sit down. It's not a medical thing. It's just a...
just don't own any chairs.
Yeah.
Not earning enough.
That's it. And my floor is covered in broken glass.
Of course. Yeah, from reenacting Die Hard all the time.
Reenacting Die Hard and a couple of sort of sex-related incidents. So I can't... So it's very difficult.
Right, so you're a pacer.
I pace and I write at the wrong time, so I wake up at night and my brain goes, hey, 3 o'clock's a good time to do
something. Mine does that as well. It won't let me sleep until I've written down everything.
And the worst thing is when you wake up in the morning, A, it's rubbish, or B, it's completely illegible. Or you've written across something that you're
half asleep when you're writing it.
I've written across this my last letter from my grandparents before they died with some rubbish I can't even read. Oh, God.
It's just me half remembering a Ross Abbott sketch. I've just been doing that, really.
That's good. I was in Glasgow filming a prank show, which I talked about maybe a month ago,
you predicted that the Glaswegians would be the worst people to do pranks to.
One of the other pranksters almost got hit. Imagine this is what we had to do for this thing. We had to go and fall asleep. One of the pranks was to try and fall asleep on someone for as long as possible in a park.
Right.
Rather than pick a nice park, they picked one of those places in the centre of London. The benches didn't even have backs to the seats. 60% of people who were sitting in this area...
Yeah.
I'm not saying this is typical for Glasgow. I'm saying this is typical for inner city benches.
Yeah.
Where 60% of the people... either were drunk or on drugs or I would say had killed someone.
Yeah, because when inner city parks are often not very nice, so people aren't there to relax in the beautiful scenery. They're there to be ignored.
Yeah. Buddy's not ignoring me now, are you, Buddy?
It's Buddy. He's happy to be back.
It's nice. Buddy's trying to... I don't know if he looks... There's something quite flirtatious about Buddy. The way
he's always loose.
Okay. Anyway, that's all one of the things we had to do. It was very stressful. And the hotel we're staying in, half the side of the wall was knocked down and they're building works.
Sounds like...
I hate builders. Everywhere I go, there's buildings. Does anyone else have this problem?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I live in Camden. It's constantly being rebuilt.
Why can't you just stop? I just need less people. Anyway, that's being so neat. Let's just talk about the blooming summer films.
Summer films. I mean, I got to the cinema once whilst I was in York. Did you get to go a few times?
I went to see three films. We both went to see one of the films that was the same, which was Alpha Papa.
Alpha Papa.
So maybe I should briefly talk about the films I saw, other films.
Yeah,
I
let's
saw.
Start with those other ones. What else did you see?
Well, early in the summer, it's been out for quite a while, I saw the third in the Edgar Wright, Simon Pegg, Buddy's getting very angry with a cat in his mouth.
His cat is now filthy because I took it with us to York and he buried it in the garden several times. It's not a real cat, just so you know. It's not our cat that we don't talk about. It's a toy cat.
Well, once it's dead, it ceases to become real, doesn't it?
Is that how it works?
Buddy wants to play, but I'm going to do a film with you. So, screw you. The World's End is the third in...
The Cornetto trilogy, they're calling it.
It's not really a trilogy at all. It's just like saying we've made three
films.
Yeah. You can't just have a trilogy.
It'll cease being a trilogy when they make a fourth film.
Yeah. It's not saying, I've had three pizzas the last few days, a trilogy of pizzas. Maybe if they were the same pizza.
Yeah.
They're all pepperoni pizzas.
Or the one in the middle was really dark and bad.
Yeah.
And then the last one was cathartic.
I actually think of the first two films, Shaun of the Dead, which is filmed where I live in Crouch End, filmed around the corner at my old house is in Shaun of the Dead.
Wow.
I quite like Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah, me too. I think it's good.
Yeah, I wasn't overly enamoured by it. Hot Fuzz is one of my... It's probably in my top 20.
Really?
I think it's genius.
I'm sort of in love with Timothy Dalton in that film. I sort of want to be him when I'm his age.
Mm.
I think he's brilliant in it.
I think that the shootouts, everything... If you haven't seen it yet, we can't read... There aren't really any spoilers. It's just a great... It's them at their best, I think.
Yeah, and that's Edgar Wright's old town, isn't it, that he filmed
it? Wells.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. The World's End... I didn't like it as much as the two. My expectations are so high. It's one of those expectation things when you go in and you think this is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
And I didn't live up to it. If it was the first film I'd ever seen by, you know, Edgar Wright with Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, I'd have thought it was very good. It just wasn't as good. I thought it was a bit worse than Shaun of the Dead.
Okay.
Simon Pegg, the story is Simon Pegg is playing this sort of annoying loser who's not really done... He was cool at school when he was 15 and he decides to get his... when they left school, it was like the last day of their GCSEs or A-levels and they went on a pub call which they didn't finish and they decide to... He decides to get in touch with all his old friends, you know, 25 years later or however old he's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And redo the 12 pubs as his pub crawl. But it turns out the small sleepy village they're in isn't quite what it appears to be.
It's actually a really big city.
No. There's something bad going on there with some sort of monsters.
Right.
Cast are good. Simon Pegg's character, he plays someone who's a dick. Like this character he plays is a really unlikable loser at school. He's not very nice. But there aren't really any redeeming features to it. And they don't have the... And normally, you like all the Simon Pegg and Nick Frost characters.
Yes.
I found his character was supposed to be profoundly unlikable... But I didn't ever grow to like him or warm to like
That's
him.
That's odd for a protagonist. He doesn't have the journey that, you know, he becomes somebody you like by the end and therefore...
I don't think there wasn't any... I know we bang on about arcs and I hate all that stuff and how each character's got to progress and change.
Well, they don't have to, but, you know, something's got to change for it to be interesting.
There were some changes, but I don't think the characters were really engaging or interesting. It was well made, but I was just disappointed.
When I finished my GCSEs, my friend Paddy and I went to the baker's and bought...
Well, David, would you come to the baker's and have a little scone with me, would you?
His name was actually Paddy. That's not...
Oh, okay.
Not me being racist.
Oh, okay.
And we ate 6 yum yums each, but we managed it, so we don't have to go back and do it again.
Was that had you planned that beforehand?
No, we just went, what should we do to celebrate? And so, well, they're selling 6 yum yums on special offer at the baker's. Why don't we do that? We felt horrible. Really, really sick.
There's a time when that sort of becomes like not cool to do that. But I've gone full circle and now I think it's cool. Like, me and my friend Mark used to go in the local spa. We'd have enough money to get one DVD out, or rather video it was then, and have a pound left for sweets. So it was 10p bags of crisps,
yeah,
and as many sugary things as you get in that pound, and a bottle of cheap Coca-Cola to go off. And that ceased to become, as a time when I thought that was uncool. Now there's nothing I might want more in the world.
But a pound.
Mm.
I'd invested a chair first, but...
Yeah, I wouldn't sit... Yeah, he didn't have glass on his floor. So that's The World's End. I think it had similar reviews across the board.
Okay.
It was good, but not... they set the bar so high, and I think Simon Pegg just looks a bit too, like, Hollywoodified.
Is he? What's changed about it? Because I've not seen it. I'm massive fan of Spaced and Big Train, and then I've seen Shaun and Hot Fuzz.
I really like Simon Pegg, but I was talking to you earlier about this. For our listeners abroad, there's a program called The One Show, which is a really sort of, it's a 7 o'clock at night. It's one of those sort of really inane chat shows where two bland presenters talk about really boring things.
Sounds awful.
Yeah. I mean, I can't think of, and one of them is bald, and his voice sounds a bit like someone dragging their fingers down blackboard. And one of them is from Yorkshire.
Right.
That's what I've got to say about
you. Yeah.
Anyway,
it's my only discerning characteristic.
He was on there, Simon Pegg was on there, and I said to you earlier that someone brought these burgers on, like these deluxe sort of hamburgers, gourmet burgers, and Simon Pegg sat there and he took the bun off and said, I can't eat that because of the gluten or something like that. He couldn't even take a bite of it. And I thought, you know what, just eat the...
You think he was slimming because he has to be LA?
Yes.
But surely, you know, if you're put in that situation, just eat the bun and then do some more sit-ups that evening in private.
Yeah,
you know? That's all you need to
What's
do.
What's a bun? 6 sit-ups?
Yeah, I think.
What, a bite of a bun? 6-7 sit-ups?
Yeah. If you eat the bun whilst doing sit-ups, it's fewer than that. I mean, it's an easy system. He's friends with Tom Cruise now, though, isn't he? So that might have changed him.
Maybe
there might be a glimmer in the eye.
Yeah.
He's his Mission Impossible buddy.
Next film we'll go into quickly, really quickly. Elysium, I saw. It's another film. Really great trailer.
Now, I haven't seen it yet. I am looking forward to it.
Now, this is quite interesting. What is your... Why... You've seen the trailer, have you?
Yeah, I've seen the trailer, but mostly because of District 9. Because it's... It's, what's he called, Neil Blomkamp's second film.
Yeah.
And District 9 I thought was wonderful.
Mm.
Like, really, well, I've said it before on this podcast, but they managed to tell a story brilliantly, a character-based story with a really CGI-heavy film. It is doable. It's not the old adage of CGI is awful and any time you use it, it's bad. It's not. You just need to have restraint and know what you're doing.
But like Cinnamon.
Cinnamon isn't itself bad.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone hates Jar Jar Binks made of cinnamon.
Yeah.
But, you know, that doesn't mean that all hot cross buns are evil.
I think cinnamon's always good. So cinnamon's it's the wrong cooking allegory, isn't it?
You were, a month ago when we recorded, you hated cinnamon.
Oh, I changed.
You've changed over the August, haven't you?
I'm thinking about Chinamen.
Oh, right, yeah. No, they're not evil.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
I get mixed up between the two and it's caused quite a fracas. Elysium, yes, it is... I'll talk about it briefly. It's another sort of dystopian future set about 100 years in the future. Earth is overpopulated. I mean, it's pretty overpopulated already, but times that by about 3. Everyone's quite poor. Where have all the rich people gone? Well, they've not gone to Surrey or other bits of the suburbs.
Yeah.
They've only gone into space, haven't they? They've built their own little... It's nice. It's like a sort of cruise ship in space.
And I bet they've not even dropped the ladder down for us to come up, have they?
There is no ladder.
No.
Matt Damon is always good.
Yes.
I like him.
He plays a sort of robot.
he's not really a robot. You think from the trailer he's a robot,
right?
He's not. He gets the story is Matt Damon was an orphan with another girl. Obviously, that childhood love story that's been in a million films.
I love orphans and things.
Yeah, they always fall in love with their children, and he still loves her. And she works at a nursing hospital, and she's got a child. Matt Damon gets ill. Basically, there's no proper healthcare. The whole of Earth is run by robots. So Matt Damon has to get to Elysium. Where in Elysium, these people, they've got blooming healing pods in every single house.
Like in Prometheus.
Yeah.
He can quickly get an abortion in a pod if he needs it.
Yes, but it's like, it doesn't just do abortions. It does teeth whitening. It's
useful.
It does...
make sure you press the right button.
Yeah. You don't want to...
Don't want to get in it sleepy.
I thought, I wonder what I'd be like. It would probably cure my baldness.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You'd get hair. Because I've seen the surgery of hair implants on telly.
Yeah.
It's really basic.
So it would just... I get... My hair will grow back. It's quite... There's probably things wrong with you I don't even realise.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe I don't even speak like this once I've been in this pod. I just speak like... You know... Who knows what's wrong with it? But anyway, everyone's got these pods and they're trying to get there. Matt Damon's good. I think visually it's very good. The bad guy who is the good guy in District 9 is the bad guy in this.
Charlton Copley?
Yes.
How is he?
It is like watching a South African panto.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Because he's really excellent in District 9.
I think he's really bad in this. And Jodie Foster, who is a great actress,
yeah.
It seems that she's sort of gone... It's a bit like, what's that film when he gets old and he gets young, really? Benjamin Button. Her acting career is...
is backwards.
Akin to Benjamin Button, because she plays a villain in this. It's like watching a bad Eurovision Song Contest presenter. It is, honestly. You know in these
features... Hello, Copenhagen!
Yeah, yeah. You know that there's a weird... It's a bit like Esperanto. It's that language. Some of these future films, they did it a bit in the After Earth one, where they try and speak in this future language where it's not a natural... It's a weird accent. I think, what is she doing? It's fascinating.
I doubt that's her choice, though, is it?
It is.
It's not the director's gone, what's Jodie doing? No, we can't say anything. She cost £3 million.
But another guy does it, who's the bad guy in Prison Break, and he's in loads of stuff. He's great. He's got a really weird face. He looks a bit like...
Robert Nepper.
Yes.
Yeah, he's wonderful. He's Teabag in Prison Break.
Yes. The bad guy, not Robert Nepper. Excuse me, everyone.
Who is he in Prison Break? I know Prison Break well.
He's a detective who's chasing... It's more Prison Break 2, maybe...
Oh, yes, 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 I know who you mean. We talked about him before.
William Fichtner.
He's in always everything. Great.
He's got amazing... He's
the bank manager at the beginning of Dark Knight.
Yes, he's been in more films than I've made grammatical mistakes in this podcast. He got this sort of futuristic person right. I think Jodie Foster got it wrong. That's what I'm going to say, but there were more plot holes in this film, and things didn't add up. It hadn't been thought through. You know, when you write a script, you should ask questions. Go, oh right. So if this place in space, how are you going to get there? Why haven't they got defense mechanisms? Here's all.
Yeah.
There were so many things that didn't make any sense.
Got an elitist place they're living in, and Earth is a hellhole, then presumably everyone's going to try and get there all the time.
Yeah. I'm quite good at suspending my disbelief, but this, the structure, the ideas behind this were so paper thin, it was just, I found it annoying and it put me off. Okay. Anyway, that's my film.
How many Marics?
I still quite enjoyed it. I think even five or six?
5 or 6 Marics. And World's End, how many Marics for that?
7.
Okay. Okay, so it's winning your summer so far. Alpha Papa, the Alan Partridge movie. I saw this one.
And I think this is brilliant.
It's really funny.
I'm going straight up. I think there's some faults with it, but this is a 10 out of 10.
Really? I wouldn't go that far.
I think... Do you know why? Because I think I think there are faults with it. For those of you who don't know, Alan Partridge is played by Steve Coogan. Do you want to explain
that? Yeah, yeah. Probably the most successful comedic character
of recent years, if not ever. But Steve Coogan plays this character on British TV called Alan Partridge, who is an ex-TV sports presenter who's now a regional radio DJ. And this is his first film outing after having a fair few TV series and other stuff. And he is still working for North Norfolk Digital, the radio station, and they get bought out by some sort of trendy people. And one of his co-workers, played by the brilliant Colm Meaney, who is in lots of things, including Con Air, and he's Chief Miles O'Brien from Star Trek. But he gets fired for being too old and past it, and then goes a bit nuts and takes them all hostage with a shotgun. And that's the setup, isn't it? I commend the fact that they've kept Alan in Alan's world and just made his world more filmic rather than, you know, taking him on holiday to Spain or something.
It's whether it works as a film. It could have been on TV. I mean, it is the greatest, I think, one of the greatest ever character comedy character creations.
Sitcom to film, my God, it's just a wake of horror, isn't it? Mostly, they're mostly terrible. I don't tend to watch them, so I've not got a big long list of them in my head, but I've not heard good things. I mean, Kevin and Perry Go Large, I've seen. That wasn't
I've never
strong.
Seen that, yeah.
The Ali G movie.
I didn't mind Borat. I thought it was very good.
But that wasn't on telly first, really. He tried it out in a few sketches, but it didn't have its own show.
Yeah, I suppose.
Borat's the best one of his, I reckon. But no, this was by and large very, very funny. I mean, that's what it got absolutely right.
I think I went back and so Alan Partridge made a comeback. If you go on the internet and look up what they call Mid Morning Matters.
It was
on YouTube. They made these 10-minute sort of things.
Shorts,
everyone thought Alan Partridge was dead, and it was just two cameras, him at a radio station, just talking, you know, into one camera, one camera on the side, and him sort of. He knows the character so well, and after I watched the film, I went and watched more Alan Partridge, and it's, you couldn't watch him in anything.
Yeah, and off the back of the success of those, of you know, Bring It Back, they made some one-off TV specials of These Are the Places of My Life, which was brilliant. Alan Partridge going around Norwich talking about just the places that are important to him in a self-involved way, but also sort of spoofing history documentaries.
I prefer him when he's reacting to someone. Yeah. I think that he's really good at that.
I love it. I didn't think this was a 10 for me because it suffered from the fact that none of the other characters got any development. It was all about Alan, and he didn't, it's not like he's calling the shots, but they didn't give anyone else any space. They set up other characters, like the headstrong police chief woman who was in her first big siege, and they set all of that up, and then that never went anywhere. Colm Meaney's character as a DJ who just loves to DJ, then whenever he DJs, they just let Alan do it, and he's just sat opposite him smiling and nodding. You just go, you're just not letting him do anything, because Alan's the best character. So the story suffered from that, I thought. But I didn't care because it was funny. It's not a brilliant story. You know, I think it takes some missteps, and actually, then it actually fails to do what it's trying to do at times. But
I think
it's never not funny. So
the first half was really great.
Yeah.
And it does suffer a bit from that. It gets slower and has to resolve itself.
Well, it hasn't set up its theme strong enough, they then sort of fizzle out towards the middle, and then they just tack on a how all of these movies end sort of bit that feels to come sort of out of nowhere, I think.
But I agree with all that. But I think I laughed out loud so many times in this film. I was really laughing, and I thought, do you know what? That's such an achievement. I don't give a shit if there's no. Fair enough. You made me laugh. This has made me laugh more than any other film in a long. Well, I really enjoyed Tim and Eric's thing as well. But there's a couple of films that I haven't laughed at. Films that I'm saying it's 21 Jump Street made me laugh out loud as well. But this made me really, really laugh. Just an idea of how great the character is. There's one bit where he's just sitting in a car, miming to a song. That's all he's doing.
Yeah.
Miming to a Rochford song, which incidentally wasn't my favourite song. But and to make that laugh out loud funny,
yeah,
it takes such skill and such care.
But I've also, they've done brilliantly there where it's laugh out loud funny because you know the character so well.
Exactly.
That all he has to do is keep doing what he's doing, and you've got a whole sort of back catalogue of all these hours of TV you've watched of that character. I mean, that's why the tie-in film should be great with all of these things, because you as soon as they come on screen, you know who they are. Everybody, you know, pretty much, who's going to see Alpha Papa has seen Alan Partridge before.
Well, I'd love to hear what anyone... maybe some of our American listeners, maybe some of our listeners in Qatar who haven't seen any television stuff and have just seen Alpha Papa, what they thought of it. And is it quintessentially English?
Yes. Do you have to be English to get it, I guess? Or, I doubt you do.
Or British, I should say.
Yeah, how many merits? 10, you think?
I think I agree with all your points. But
I'm a real.
I love him, and I think
he's a story, though. You know,
I know you are, but I think he is one of the. I think he doesn't even when he's just playing other characters. It's not all I want to do is see Steve Coogan playing a part.
Yeah, yeah.
And he is majestic, and I could watch him all day. And I think he's an absolute genius.
I've heard several times Amanda Iannucci, whenever, you know, before all this latest spate of it happening again, being asked, are you ever going to bring Alan back and whatever? And his answer tended to be, it's nice to have a break, because when you do an Alan Partridge thing, you don't spend that time with Steve Coogan, you spend it with Alan, and that can get very tiring.
Okay.
But you can see it, can't you, that he's just so good at it that he'll be playing with it all the time. And it's
incredible to watch there's 20 years or more than that, I think, I've gone into that character. So when in a film,
I think he's getting better as well, because he's now the age the character was supposed to be when he started, because he was a young man playing a 40-year-old when
he
started.
When he did his quiz show, his Knowing Me, Knowing You, yes. I watched some of that, and it wasn't as funny as he is now.
It wasn't. And more contrived and strange, because it wasn't a real world, because it was the same three actors playing all of the guests each time. It was Rebecca Front and Patrick Marber and Dune McKeegan. Is that her name?
Yes.
So, you know, it was a fictional thing. It was far more like a sort of sketch show with a host, really. But then I'm Alan Partridge, I thought, just was wonderful as a series.
It's on Netflix. If you want to see the best comedy series, I think, of the last 15 years. Yeah.
And so. I think, you know, not to belittle what he's done, but I think Ricky Gervais has a lot to thank Steve Coogan and Alan Partridge for, because they came along first and then The Office came second, and they've made it even realer and more painful, really. But yeah, they definitely, you know, it's of the same ilk. Yeah, I'd give it 8 Davids, I think.
Oh, well,
I really enjoyed it. That's a good score.
I really, really enjoyed it. We've got some on our Facebook page. Oh, don't forget to... we should do some plug-in now things, shouldn't we?
Plug-in now things. All right. What are we plugging now?
First of all, if you enjoy this podcast...
Oh, yes. We do these podcasts entirely for free. So if you would like to help us with our running costs, it's not cheap to trying to go to the cinema as often as possible and put these out. But if you'd like to donate to the running costs, anything you can afford, then you can do so at filmfandango.co.uk.
And also, we're doing a live Film Fandango, another one.
Film Fandango Live 2.
It's October 29th.
Halloween-ish.
And the tickets should be on the Forge and Foundry website. Go to our Facebook page. As soon as the link is available, we'll put it up there for you. Please come along. We're sort of deciding on the format of it. It might just be a big film quiz, which we show our own films, and everyone is more of a sort of get together with lots of prizes.
Yeah, but the last one was so much fun. We decided we definitely wanted to do it again, and so a Halloween one felt you know, would be brilliant. So 29th of October, put it in your diaries. It will be in Camden in London.
What do I do though if I want to get in? I want to get in touch with myself and also with you.
Right. Well, don't call me. I've been very clear about that.
Not even a text?
No, and don't come round here. Okay, when it's not the allotted time, never come round here.
Okay.
But you can email.
What if it's an emergency, medical emergency?
Then email me.
But it'll go straight to me. You might get it as well.
I might get it.
Okay.
You can email me, and listeners, you can do so too. DearFilmFandango@gmail.com.
Why can't I just use your direct email address?
because you go straight to the spam filter in there.
Oh, okay. And say my email's down.
Yeah, well, then you can tweet us at FilmFandango or go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/FilmFandango.
And just go on and like it or follow us because it makes us feel like someone's bloody listening. and people have written in to talk about just the films that they've seen. Should we take turns with these?
Yeah, I can't really see all the way over there and the mic's over here.
Oh, okay. Read them out. Here's what people have... people on our Facebook page have talked about what films they liked over the summer.
Okay, Mark J.B. Bell says Two Guns was good. Marky Mark makes the film, I'd say.
I love Mark Wahlberg.
Mark Edwards said Pacific Rim, existential warfare with big bastard Roberts. His words, Roberts.
I've heard Pacific Rim is supposed to be really good.
I've heard it's supposed to be awful.
Okay.
Therefore it's supposed to be okay. Lorraine Haynes says, I'm so pleased that Alpha Papa didn't fall into the trap of taking Alan out of his natural environment. I agree. I've said it myself. She thinks this is how you convert from your radio, TV, internet film without alienation. It looked easy, but was so clever and funny. I loved it.
I agree, Lorraine.
Lorraine, it was excellent. Francesca. Roscoe Scalici. Francesca Scalici. Oh,
hello, Francesca.
Blue Jasmine was really compelling and would be very worth discussing. I don't know Blue Jasmine. We'll have to look it up for next time.
Sounds a bit raunchy.
Oh, Blue Jasmine. Oh, sounds a bit like cinnamon.
Yeah, it does sound like that. Sounds like a toilet spray, to be honest.
Ian Smith says, although I've not seen it, White House Down looks like a remake of Olympus Has Fallen from earlier in the year. Does anyone know which went into production first? I think it's one of these cases. They went in around the same time, so there was no legal battle. It's
Doppelfilm.
Doppelfilm.
That should be. That's a good name term for it, isn't it?
Doppelfilms.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Two films. It's like the Hitchcock one. It always happens, isn't it?
Ants and Bugs Life. We've done this game before.
Doppelfilm.
It's a Doppelfilm. So White House Down just decided to leave it a bit before they came out rather than compete. But there you go. Ian Smith also says Mortal Instruments was pretty crap. Of course it was. Of course it was. It's a derivative of Twilight, which is a derivative of Harry Potter. What were you expecting? Alpha Papa is hilarious, although it helps if you're a fan of AP. Kick-Ass 2 was great, although having a 15-year-old swearing isn't as funny as a 9-year-old dropping the C-bomb. I can see that. As she grows up, she'll be less charming in that role. But
and she's doing Carrie, isn't
the
she?
Remake of Carrie.
You can't
Why
cast
would you
anyone
remake
in...
it?
Yeah, yeah, Sissy Spacek was perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
I've heard good things about The Conjuring as well.
Okay.
From various people.
But thank you for those. We will look into them. It's a service we're providing, telling each other whether to see things, you know. We're empowering ourselves, aren't we?
Yeah. Doppelfilm.
Doppelfilm! All right, well, that's it. Yes, we'll be back next week with more films. Once again, if you would like to get in touch, dearfilmfandango@gmail.com. But otherwise, we'll be back next week.
And please send in your one-minute reviews, your sound bites.
Yes,
really,
we stopped
really
asking for them over the summer. So, yes, we will start doing that again. If you'd like to review a film in 60 seconds or less and send it to us, we will use it as part of the podcast. We'll be back next week. Keep watching
the films. Bye. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.